There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song.
Good morning, Breakout Radio Church family. It is time for your weekly service, Breakout Radio Church. I am Delvin Kintzer, and Rhonda, my lovely wife, is with us today as well as we're getting ready for Breakout Radio Church. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. It is going to be a glorious day here on BPNradio.com. Your 24-hour internet prayer station. Brother Dale and his wife Jean and whole family having a family celebration with a granddaughter's wedding this weekend. And so while they're enjoying their time off, we are going to be with you today.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be a great day.
We're excited. We hope you're excited.
We are excited. And I tell you what, I'd like to let you know that a Breakout Radio Church is here every Sunday, 8 a.m. We're right here. And then you can hear the service on a daily basis on Breakout Radio or BPNradio.com. So let's get started. Rhonda, let's encourage one another with some awesome affirmations.
Yes, I woke up this morning and I thought, we need to get started today with some affirmations. And all of these affirmations are right out of Isaiah chapter 61. Hallelujah. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, that and Luke chapter 4.
Amen.
So just repeat after me. If you're in your home, if you're in your car, wherever you might be, just repeat after me, because all of these things apply to all of us. Hallelujah. So here we go. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
The Anointed One lives in me.
The Anointed One lives in me.
Therefore, I'm anointed.
Therefore, I'm anointed.
I am anointed to preach good news to the afflicted.
I am anointed to preach good news to the afflicted.
I'm anointed to bind up the brokenhearted.
I'm anointed to bind up the brokenhearted.
I'm anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives.
I'm anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives.
And freedom to prisoners.
And freedom to prisoners.
I am anointed to announce that grace is here.
I'm anointed to announce that grace is here.
The grace to comfort all who mourn.
The grace to comfort all who mourn.
Grace gives me beauty for ashes.
Grace gives me beauty for ashes.
Grace provides the oil of gladness.
Grace provides the oil of gladness.
Instead of mourning.
Instead of mourning.
Grace gives me a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness.
Grace gives me a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness.
I am an oak of righteousness.
I am an oak of righteousness.
Let's say that one again.
I am an oak of righteousness.
Hallelujah. I am planted by the Lord so that he may be glorified.
I am planted by the Lord so that he may be glorified.
I am a priest of the Lord.
I am a priest of the Lord.
I am a minister of God.
I'm a minister of God.
I will eat the wealth of the nations.
I will eat the wealth of the nations.
And instead of shame.
And instead of shame.
I have a double portion.
I have a double portion. Hallelujah.
Okay, let's say that one again. Instead of shame.
Instead of shame.
I have a double portion.
I have a double portion.
And instead of humiliation.
And instead of humiliation.
I shout for joy.
I shout for joy.
And the last one. Everlasting joy is mine.
Everlasting joy is mine. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank
awesome.
You, Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, we're going to get started with some praise and worship today. Aren't you glad that we have access to the presence of God, the very throne room of God we have access to? And so we're just going to worship the Lord today. Heaven came down.
Yeah, this is an oldie but a goodie. This is one of my favorite songs, and it's in a little bit of a different style. So just hang in there with us. Yeah, heaven came down. It's heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
Here we go. David Crowder.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Jesus, my Savior, amen. Now the kingdom and glory fill my soul.
Praise the Lord. Heaven came down. Glory filled my soul. Glory to God. What an awesome day that was in my life. An awesome day it was in your life. You ever think about the time that heaven came down and glory filled your soul when you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord? And then all the other times since then that heaven has come down and glory has filled my soul being in His presence. Amen.
I thank God that it's not just a one-time event.
Oh, amen. Amen. You know, so many believers think that. Oh, I remember the day that I got saved. Boy, that was a great day back then. And, well, I wonder where God is now. I mean, you know, you get that kind of, no, it's a daily thing. God's presence can fill your soul with His glory every day.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to take our offering now here at Breakout Radio Church, so you can prepare yourself for to give today. God has blessed this radio ministry, Breakout Radio Church. He's blessed BPNRadio.com as well, and He's been so good because of the faithful giving of listeners and members of Breakout Radio Church. So you can give if you're a guest today at Breakout Radio Church and you say, well, how do I give? Well, bpnradio.com is a great place to go. You can click on the donate button there. As soon as you come up with bpnradio.com, you'll see where you can donate there and do that online. Or if you'd like to send your offering in, paying your tithes and offerings today. Remember, if you have, if Breakout Radio Church is your church, this is where your tithes need to come. If you have a church that you attend regularly, tithes need to go there. But if Breakout Radio Church is your church, this is where you need to bring your tithe. So you can do that. You can mail in a check payable to Breakout Ministries, and that's at P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. Again, the number, the address is P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. And again, make out your checks payable to Breakout Radio, or to Breakout Ministries. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless our offering today. Father, we just thank You for Your faithfulness to us. God, You say in Your Word, You will never leave us nor forsake us, that You're a friend that sticks closer to a brother than a brother. And so we just thank You, God, that You are with us yes. always, and You're always watching for us. And so, God, today we keep that in mind. You say You love a cheerful giver. What can make you more cheerful than to know that the God of the universe has your back? So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we just pray that You'll bless this offering. We pray that You will use it for Your glory and that, Lord, You'll just continue to bless and grow the ministry of Breakout Radio Church. So many people's lives touched every Sunday and throughout the week. And so we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to His name. Well, I tell you what, it's, again, an exciting time for Rhonda and I to be here at Breakout Radio Church on this Sunday morning as Pastor Dale and his wife, Jean, had a great celebration, I'm sure, this weekend, celebrating the marriage of their granddaughter. What a great time for family to come together and to celebrate what God is doing in a young couple's life. Yeah. And so it was our privilege to be able to fill in the pulpit today. And Pastor, we'll call her Pastor Rhonda today. She has a word today. As you know, yesterday, Rhonda and I had an opportunity to go on a little day trip, which was so much fun because we haven't been able to go on a day trip for a while just to get away. And we had some fun. We also did some things. We saw a movie that I think every person, believer or not, needs to see that opened this weekend because of the subject matter. It's not for kids, but it is something every believer and non-believer, every person, I think, needs to see it, because it really pulls down the curtain of the abortion industry. It's called Gosnell. Do we want to talk about that a little
bit?
Yeah,
go ahead, because we've got plenty of time. It's really been marginalized by the mainstream media, and that's why maybe even as we're talking about this right now, you didn't even know there was such a movie, but mm-hmm. I'm going to have Devin break it down for you here in a minute. But I think that's another reason why we wanted to just mention it here on the broadcast, because it has been marginalized, and we had to drive to Amarillo, Texas, to be able to watch the movie.
It's about 160 miles from us.
Yeah. Or Wichita, Kansas. There were several outlets in Wichita that was playing it, but it's not going to probably come to a lot of smaller towns.
Right. Bigger markets it would be at. It tells the story of a doctor. I can't remember his first name. Gosnell was his name. He was an abortion doctor that practiced in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for more than 30 years. And it tells the story about how he came on the radar of law enforcement because of illegal prescription drug use.
Opiates and narcotics.
Right. Mm-hmm. People in his clinic, it was the DEA and the FBI and the Philadelphia Police Department began to see that as they were trying to fight drug abuse, people getting multiple prescriptions out of this clinic. And so when it came on the radar that way, they, all the federal agencies and the local agencies, had a search warrant to search his place for records about these scripts that were being written, multiple prescriptions for opioids and other dangerous drugs. Okay. When they got into this abortion clinic, they began to see what was going on there. In this man was performing late-term abortions, which were illegal after 24 weeks. 24 weeks is 6 months, but in Pennsylvania at the time, and it may be still the case, you couldn't have an abortion after that. That was illegal. So he was performing late-term abortions, which was sketchy, but then the conditions and unsanitary conditions. And so the movie portrays what the shock that these officers find when they get into this place, and to know that he's been doing it for 30 years. And so it goes through the case where they prosecute him because a woman had died while there. They prosecute him for her murder, and then at least I think there was 6 or 8 babies that had been basically born alive that he then murdered. It is it's gut-wrenching. I'll just tell you right now, it is gut-wrenching, but it is eye-opening too, because you see how the court system, how the medical industry doesn't want anything to do to touch anything like this, because they're so afraid of the pro-abortion movement.
Mm-hmm. Of the pushback.
And so, anyway, praise the Lord, the man does get convicted. And this really happened. You can look it up.
I want to give the website for the movie. If you want to go out and just look at a trailer.
Yeah.
It is Gosnell, Gosnell movie, all one word, gosnellmovie.com. Mm-hmm. You can go out there for yourself and you can just watch a trailer. You know, it is amazing how the world continues to marginalize mm-hmm. and put aside the truth. Just the basic truth. They do not want to hear the truth.
No, they do not.
No. So,
well, anyway, we just we wanted to share that with you today as we get into the Word today, because it's such an important issue, and it's believers, Breakout Radio church members, we have to be on our knees praying about that this scourge. I mean, we know it's awful, but it's more than you can imagine awful, and God has to have the victory over this, and He will.
Yes,
He
will. That's His plan.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Rhonda, I'm sorry to bring you down here.
No, you didn't bring me down.
Yeah, but wow, let's a word from you today. Glory to His name.
Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank You that Your Holy Spirit is upon us this hour. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He will be with us, Lord, until we see the clouds part and You step out of heaven for us. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our helper. He is anointed us to be able to proclaim the good news today. He has anointed us to announce, Lord, recovery, Lord God, from every sin and from every effects of guilt and shame. Hallelujah. In fact, I thank You, Father God, that Your promise upon us today is that for our shame, the shame that the enemy came to put upon us by our sins, by the choices that we made to sin, God, that Your promise is if that we humble ourselves and we call out upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord just put on my heart that He wanted me to share a little bit of my testimony. And so the title of my message today is You Are God's Handiwork. You are God's handiwork. When you surrendered your life to the Lord, and I know that most of the people that are tuning in, more than likely you are born again believers, spirit-filled believers. You walk in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And hallelujah. But I want to inform you on some things today, and I want to challenge you today that God is still in the delivering business. He is still in the removing shame off of people, removing guilt off of people, that there are people sitting in our churches today that they might be saved, but they still are walking in guilt and shame. And so we're going to address that today because God says in Ephesians 2 that we are His handiwork. So if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And all of the verses and scriptures I'm going to be reading today are from the New Living Translation. So I'm just going to start and I'm going to read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And the title of this portion of the Bible says, Made Alive with Christ. Here we go. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. I love this translation. All of us used to live that way. Following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, hallelujah, verse 4, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to stop here. Sometimes when we think about riches and wealth, and we think about monetary things because we live in this natural world, but when God thinks about wealth, when He thinks about riches, He thinks about things like mercy and grace and peace and joy and gentleness and kindness. He is rich in these attributes. Hallelujah. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you are saved. Hallelujah. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ, and He seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us. Okay, let's just stop and think about this. God is pointing at you. He causes us to stand out. He causes us to be radiant. He causes us to be brilliant, a brilliant light in a dark world. Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the glory of God has come upon you, and that there will be darkness upon the earth and deep darkness upon the people. But the glory of the Lord will arise and shine on you. That he came and he sought me and he bought me, and heaven came down and glory filled my soul, and he washed all of my sins away. And who I was, I am that person no longer, but now I am joined with Christ Jesus, the perfect one. Hallelujah. I am his trophy. Okay. Okay. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. Hallelujah. We had a good friend of Pastor Dell's in our house, in our church, a week ago, and he talked to us about the blessing. We had another minister come, and he talked to us about grace. Hallelujah. Grace, you get grace just because you believe.
Amen.
You believe it. Hallelujah. You get a gift just because you receive it. Hallelujah. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. Or, and I think it's a New American Standard version that says, we are God's handiwork.
Hallelujah.
He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Hallelujah. That is good news today.
Amen.
Because I don't know about you, but when God met me, when he sought me out and he found me, all on his own initiative, all on his own free will, he found me and he said to me, Rhonda, it is time to come home. And I was not looking for him. He was searching for me. And he knew the appointed moment, the appointed hour, that appointed day of destiny, whenever I would be standing in a church that my sister invited me to come to church with her in Stillwater, Oklahoma, at Calvary Assembly of God with Pastor Stan Formby. How do you remember all of that, Rhonda? You're almost 50, and that was when you were 19. Is it because you have a great memory? Well, maybe. But it was such a monumental day in my life that I will never forget. As we stood for the altar call, and I heard for the first time in my life the voice of the Holy Spirit speak within my heart. And I heard him say to me, Rhonda, it's time to come home. You know, the scripture says in Isaiah 53:6, all of us like sheep have strayed away, that we left God's plans to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. And in Peter talks about how he quotes the scripture from Isaiah 53, how we've all gone astray. But he ends by saying that we return to the shepherd of our soul, the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I want to make this statement that I was a woman who had been saved and who had been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord saved me in August, and in September of that year, whenever I was 19, about 30 days later, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord provided me my prayer language, and I felt the love of God come on me like thick honey. That's the only way to describe it, this like thick honey from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I felt the love of God just cover me, and I felt so much love. such pure, unadulterated love for the first time in my life. And I loved the Lord with all my heart because he had rescued me from the dominion of darkness, and he had opened my eyes to his marvelous light, and he called me to his side. But even as a born-again believer, for years, I lived under condemnation. I lived under guilt and shame. Now, when I went down to the altar that day, I knew that God had forgiven me of all my sins. But there was this secret sin that I had never told anyone, and I kept it to myself because I was so ashamed. And I know some of you know me, and you've heard my testimony. I've spoken about my testimony at times on the broadcast that I host on Friday's Intercession Watch. But I'm going to share this real briefly. But whenever I was 15, I found myself pregnant. Because of the choices that I had made to commit fornication. Because I wanted someone to love me, and so I was willing to give myself away. And so at 15, I found myself pregnant. I had been raised in a pastor's home. I had been raised in church. But now I find myself, my parents were divorced. My older sister was already married, and she was having a family of her own. And now I find myself 15, and I find out that I'm pregnant. And I remember just feeling so ashamed of myself. How could I have allowed this to happen? I thought I was smarter than this. I thought I was better than this. I mean, I don't know, whatever you, all those thoughts were going through my mind. And not wanting to disappoint my mother. All of these thoughts were going through my mind. And so because of all of those things and because of my selfishness, because I wanted to go to college and I wanted to have my degrees and I wanted to have a career and I wanted to have a future and I wanted to, you just put it, fill in the blank. I made the choice to have an abortion. And so the day after I turned 16, it was on a Friday, and my boyfriend took me to a local gynecologist in Stillwater. And I had this procedure. And so when the Lord called me home at 19, I had been away. I had given my heart to the Lord whenever I was a little girl under my dad's ministry. I was 8. It was in a youth meeting, and I got saved and I got baptized. And then when my parents got a divorce at 12, something broke in me in my trust in God and my hope in God. And I just kind of turned my back and walked away. And so from 12 until 19, as the scripture says in Isaiah 53:6, I strayed away. I left God's path to follow my own. And but at 19, the Lord came and said, I love you. I want you to come home. And so I gave my heart back to the Lord. I confessed all of my sins and accepted his gift of Christ. Hallelujah. And I went on my merry way. Living for the Lord, met my husband, Delvin, about a year later after I'd given my heart to the Lord. We got married, and we had been married for 6 years, serving in our local church. Delvin was even on the board. We had taught Sunday school classes. I was the head of our altar team ministry there in Bethany, Oklahoma, with David Brooks, Cornerstone Ministries. All along, holding and hiding this secret sin, never telling anyone. The only person I had told at this point was my husband, because I wanted him to know the mess that he was getting when he married me. And those were my words, because I was still feeling that guilt and condemnation. So long story short, we had been married for 6 years. And that in that last year, I was the whole time I was busy getting my bachelor's degree and busy getting my master's degree. And I was busy living out my plans and following my own path in that sense of, you know, my goal was to be educated. But all that time, we weren't having children. And I blamed it and excused it on the fact that I was going to school. We didn't have time for children. But the last year of that 6 years, the spirit of torment really began to affect my life regarding this guilt that I was carrying and the shame that I was carrying about this secret sin. And the reason why I'm telling you this today on this broadcast, on a Sunday morning, and I hope you're still tuning in. I hope you haven't turned me off yet, because you're just like, you know, I didn't wake up to hear about abortion this morning, Rhonda. But God has a plan to redeem the sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead that can soothe the sin-sick soul. Hallelujah. And God chose me and called me out of my sin and out of my shame, called me to himself, and he wasn't going to leave me in guilt and shame. Now, if I would have died, I would have went to heaven. But he had greater plans for me than to live the rest of my days as a born-again, spirit-filled believer having guilt and shame. And what he will do for me, he will do for you. And I want you to understand today, because again, I know I'm talking to a lot of ministers, people who are Christians, people who are serving in the work of the Lord. But I just want to say this. Abortion is prevalent in the church today. And there are women sitting in congregations all across the United States of America that have had an abortion, and some of them more than one. And there are men sitting in your congregation who was either the father of that child that was aborted, the brother of that child who took his sister to get an abortion, the boyfriend. I've known of pastors taking their daughters to an abortion clinic because they were so ashamed that the church might find out that their daughter was pregnant. These things are happening. But see, God wants to come and take off, not the cover and expose, oh, look how evil and wicked you are. No, see, he wants to come and take off the shame and the guilt that the enemy puts on you to say that you will never be forgiven from that sin. It is the unpardonable sin. I want to give you the statistics. One of the main institutes that gathers statistics on abortion in America is called the Gut Matcher Institute. And it says here, one in five women who get an abortion identifies as a born-again, evangelical, charismatic, or fundamental Christian. One in five women who have gotten an abortion identify themselves as a born-again believer. And so it says, so out of every year, there's about 1 million babies that are aborted in the United States of America alone. That doesn't include China and Russia and other places where it's even more prevalent. So out of 1 million women a year that get an abortion, over 200,000 of them are Bible-believing Christians. One in four women in the United States will have an abortion before they turn 45. 4.6% of women will have one before they turn 20. And 19% before they turn the age of 30. And the last the statistics I want to give you is that since 1973, Roe versus Wade, over 60 million abortions have taken place in this country. And the word of the Lord calls that the shedding of innocent blood. And God takes a stand on the shedding of the murder of those who are innocent, those who cannot defend and or protect themselves. But you know what is greater than that judgment? It is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that God saw in his infinite wisdom, the sinfulness, the sin nature of man that Adam gave to us. We can look back down through the ages and we can look to Noah and we can see that the wickedness had grown so much so that God had to start all over. And it wasn't long after Noah and the rainbow that Noah and his daughters were sinning. Sin is a part of the human nature. And so God knew that we needed a remedy. And that is why at the appointed time, Jesus Christ came of a virgin and he was born and he died on a cross, shed his blood for us so that we can be atoned for all of our sin and all of our iniquities, all of our wickedness, all of that selfish, sinful nature. Hallelujah. And I just wanted to come this morning and I wanted to remind the Church of the Living God that there are people that you know that are sitting in your church, that are going to Sunday school with you, that you go and drop your kids off at school, or your grandkids off at school. There are women who are experiencing shame and guilt because of this secret sin. And so I just want to say this as I close up. God came to me. And not only did he save me, but about 8 years after I got saved, he came to me one Sunday afternoon and he began to talk to me about how he wanted me to forgive myself for my abortion. And he reminded me how he knew that I had accepted his forgiveness and that I was forgiven with him. But he came to me that day and he said to me, Rhonda, today's the day I need you to forgive yourself. And in that process of me kneeling down beside my bed, and this was a year-long process that my husband and I went through of just dealing with nightmares, dealing with torment, dealing with shame, and praying and crying out to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand what these nightmares are about. I don't understand what all of this attack is about. And then that Sunday afternoon, he came and he revealed it to me. And he said, Rhonda, there's a spiritual problem that you are still tied to this spirit of murder. And it's causing you great shame and guilt. But today, I'm going to give you complete and total deliverance. And as I knelt down beside my bed to pray, and I tried with everything in my power to open my mouth and say, God, I forgive myself. I couldn't say it because I felt like if I did, it would excuse what I did. It would make it all okay. Which is what the grace of God does, by the way. But in that moment, the Lord showed me a vision. And what I saw was I saw myself back in the doctor's office where I had gone to get my abortion. I saw myself laying on the table. I saw the doctor and I saw the nurse. But this time I wasn't on the table. I was up high in the corner of the room and I was sitting next to what appeared to me to be God the Father. And I'm looking down on this scene and God the Father leans over at me. And he says to me, I'm going to show you what I've done for you. And about that time, what appeared to be Jesus Christ walked through the door, the closed door of that room. And he came and he stood at the head of that table. And he stretched out his arms. And when he did, he was wearing a cloak, a robe that was the darkest crimson red that I'd ever seen in my life. And he took his hands and he stretched out that robe over me and he completely covered me where you could not see me anymore. And when I saw this, the Father God leaned over to me and he said, when I look at you, Rhonda, all I see is the blood. And what I need you to do today is to accept that my blood is enough and I need you to forgive yourself. And so I was able in that moment to open my mouth and I said, today I choose by faith to forgive myself for my abortion. And when I did that, heaven came down and glory filled my heart. And I went into the living room and I looked at my husband and he knew immediately that something had changed, something had happened. And he said to me, what has happened to you? And I told him what God had done. And he stood to his feet and he came over and we joined hands and we began to worship the Lord. And as we worshiped the Lord together, because this had affected our marriage for 6 years, when we began to worship, the glory of the Lord filled our living room. And nothing short of the glory of God, heaven came down and glory filled our living room and filled our hearts. And we stood there and we wept and we rejoiced in the goodness of God. And I just came here this morning to remind you that God is still wanting to reach out and deliver those that are living in hidden guilt and hidden shame. And he wants to remove the cover of all of that and let you walk out in freedom. The scripture says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool." Glory to God. Glory to God. The other scripture that I love, and the Lord gave me this a couple of months after he healed me and set me free from the guilt and shame, is Psalms 3:3. "But you are Lord. You, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high." Hallelujah. God wants the church of the living God to not be ashamed to talk about abortion. Because there are women sitting in your congregations, there are men sitting among you, and they need someone to open their mouth and say, God wants to forgive you of that particular sin. God is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and he intends for you to be delivered from all of the guilt and all of the shame from any sin that you have ever committed. And the ones that we do by choice seem like like this is all my fault. I did this. But God comes, and by his grace, he says, I'm going to give you the gift of salvation. I'm going to clean that your slate. I'm going to wipe your slate clean. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. That is good news today. Hallelujah. You know, I think, Delvin, there's always been this stigma that if we talk about a subject, then that will put it in the minds of someone that they want to do that. It's just like suicide. You know, a lot of times people don't want to talk about suicide because then they think, well, that'll put the thought in that person's mind. And
And if someone, I mean, that's a thought. The enemy, you can, the enemy will take care of that. I mean,
And as a counselor for over 20 years, this is what I've learned about those things. People, because of sin, Satan is already talking to them about those
things. That's right. Yeah.
He's already talking to them about suicide. He's already talking to them about their worthlessness. He's already talking to them about how no good they are. He's already talking to them about all the shame and all the guilt. There's no way you can be a Sunday school teacher. You had an abortion, remember? There's no way you can be an elder in your church. Remember what you did? See, Satan is already having conversations with them.
That's right.
And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, it is time for my priest. It is time for my ministers to have the conversation about what God can do to remedy that sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To not be afraid, to be bold and to be courageous. And to be able to stand up and say, there is a remedy, there is a cure, there is a deliverer, there is an answer. Hallelujah. Are you going to offend someone in your church if you talk about abortion, if you talk about suicide, if you talk about homosexuality? Maybe, because Satan will try to get a person offended. But you know what? The possibility is greater is that God will set people free.
Hallelujah.
So I just want to say this, that as the Lord opened my heart in 2015 to begin to openly declare what he had done for me, and how he had set me free, going from church to church and sharing my testimony, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it was the power of God to set me free. I have seen women and men set free from guilt and shame because they were willing to literally get out of their pew and come to their front, and God delivered them and set them free. People are hungry to be set free.
Amen.
We are going to play this song, and I'm going to come back and pray. Hallelujah, come as you are.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your So lay down.
hope for the hopeless and all those who strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
Father God, I thank you for the goodness, for you, the fact that you are rich in mercy and you are rich in grace. And I thank you, Father God, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that came and covers us from all of our sins, all of our iniquities, all of our faults, all of our weaknesses, all of our failures. Lord, your blood comes and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Your blood comes and delivers us, Lord, from the guilt that comes with that, the shame that comes with that. And Father, I thank you that for those that are under the sound of my voice today, Lord, if they identify today as one who still feels condemnation, who still feels guilt or shame, Lord, not just from the sin of abortion, but from anything that they have done, Father, I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now by faith to come upon them. And God, that I'm asking you, would you bring deliverance to them today? From the accuser, from that voice of condemnation. Lord, I just bind up in the name of Jesus that voice of condemnation over them. And I command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you are coming. And like honey, God, may you cover them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet with the love of God, with the acceptance of God, that you say you're accepted in the beloved. God, I thank you that you're removing all guilt and you're removing all shame today in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that you're moving upon the hearts of those, Lord, who are your chosen ones, and you're giving them a challenge today. Lord, just like you gave to David when he stood up to the giant of Goliath and he said, is there not a cause? Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would move upon your church today. And God, you would raise up a standard in our heart that we would go and we would raise our hand high for the charge, and that we will say there is a cause. There's a cause of righteousness. There is a cause. There's a standard that we can come in and we can proclaim liberty to the captives today, that we're not going to be ashamed and we're not going to be try to be politically correct, but God, we're going to be the word of God correct. We're going to be the truth correct. Hallelujah. We're going to walk in truth and we're going to walk in love and we're going to walk in compassion, and we're not going to be afraid, Lord, to open our mouth and declare, God, that you are our victory and that you can bring deliverance, Lord, to the sin sick soul, Lord. And so, hallelujah, let the church arise, Father God, and let us take our place in this end time harvest, Lord, where you said that there are women that, Lord, you are coming to set them free from the guilt and shame of abortion, and they will be a part of your end time harvest, and they will be your glorious bride without spot or wrinkle because of the blood of Jesus. Let us take our place, Lord, and walk in love in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost to enable us, that has anointed us, Lord, to set the captives free. We give you glory and we give you praise for all these things. I love you, Lord, and I'm so grateful that you loved me first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Powerful word. Powerful word today. God's grace is sufficient. That's what the word says. That word doesn't mean, well, God's grace is just enough to get you through. No. It means that God's grace is more than enough. It's overkill.
It'll be more than what we won't ever run out.
Oh, hallelujah.
Of his grace.
Never run out of his grace. Hallelujah. Powerful word, Rhonda. I tell you what, we want to also pray here at this time of the service for a couple of needs. First, for Pastor B.K. Jones. Pastor Jones is ministering in Kenya this week. And so we let's pray for a mighty move of God in the ministry there.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Pastor B.K. Jones to you. Lord, as this minister of God goes into this foreign land to praise you and to lift you up and to see souls saved, bodies healed, we pray in the name of Jesus, a powerful move of your Holy Spirit, a powerful move of your Holy Spirit in Pastor Jones's meetings this week. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to show up every time. We thank you for that. And Lord, we also want to lift up the elections here in the United States that are coming up. Lord, these midterm elections are so important. The direction of our nation, the workings of our government are at stake in these elections. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would get Christians to the polls, that they would be obedient and go and vote for godly men and women who will stand for godly principles. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just want to pray for all of the pastors that are going to be ministering today on, because this is the Sunday where we have different pastors that come on and preach.
Right.
And so, Father God, I just thank you for the men and women of God that you have called and anointed to be your ministers. And so, Lord, I just pray for all of those that come on every Sunday and, Lord, that they preach the word of God. And so, Lord, I just pray a hedge of protection around about them, around about their minds, around about their emotions, around about their family, Lord, around about their loved ones. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that, God, you would just continue to just cause them to speak boldly. Lord, that the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn in them, Lord, like fire shut up in their bones, that they could not, like Jeremiah said, I could not be quiet. I could not be silent. And I know, Father God, that the enemy tries to come in and he tries to silence, Lord, the man of God, the woman of God, the prophet of God, the teacher of God. Lord, he tries to silence them. And one of the ways he tries to do that, Lord, is just with condemnation. But Father God, I thank you that today that you have revealed, you've exposed him for who he is.
Yes.
And that he is the father of all lies and he is the accuser of the brethren. And we don't listen to him anymore, but we listen to the voice of the Lord. We listen to the Holy Ghost. We listen to the word of God. And so, Lord, let faith arise in your ministers today all across this nation. Lord, let your faith arise. Let hope arise. Let the glory of God, Lord, be upon your ministers as they stand behind the pulpit, Lord, all across this nation today. God, would you move upon them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, with fire and with boldness and with confidence and with the anointing to preach the gospel, Lord, to those that are afflicted. Hallelujah. Thank you for another spiritual awakening that you are moving in the hearts of your bride. You're moving in the hearts of your children, to awaken them with compassion, to awaken them with mercy, to awaken them, Lord, with your love, God, for the lost.
Amen.
To awaken them with the love of God for the person sitting next to them at church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we just thank you for another spiritual awakening.
Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Wow, what a great time we've had here on Breakout Radio Church. Here on bpnradio.com, you know, if you maybe got in the middle of service and you thought, oh, man, I want to hear this whole thing. Remember, Breakout Radio Church is aired every day, Monday through Friday. It's aired following the regular program at 10 o'clock. So tune in and hear this service again. Maybe you thought I want to hear this again. Well, you have opportunity, okay? So do that here on bpnradio.com. Again, it's been our privilege, Rhonda and Delvin Kinser, to fill in for Brother Dale today. He'll be back, I believe, next week to deliver the word. He's been delivering some powerful words to husbands to wives, the families. It's been awesome. And so you be sure and tune in and join us again for church next Sunday at 8 o'clock Central Time for Breakout Radio Church. Just a minute or so left, Rhonda. Do you have anything you want to add, you want to say before we go?
I just am, I'm so grateful for divine appointments and divine connections. And I'm very grateful for Dale Gentry and his wife providing a platform, not only for us to be able to share our hearts, but for many men and women that they've known over the years, to give them an opportunity and a platform to be able to voice what God is putting in their heart. So I just speak a blessing over Dale and over Gene and over their children and over their grandchildren. I just speak the blessing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to his name. Amen.
Oh, wow. You know, I just think about how all those years ago when we met Dale for the first time, and now all these years later, we're on his team.
That's right.
That God does those things.
God does those things.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us for church today. God bless you. You're dismissed. We will see you next Sunday.
This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.